Gita Schwartz found herself suffering from a severe case of boredom a while back, and her father was even more bored as he neared death. Schwartz wrote an essay about their experiences. It's called A Case of Boredom, and it appears in the February issue of The Believer magazine. Here's Gita Schwartz with the opening paragraphs from her essay.
Some time ago, I discovered boredom. Or rather, boredom discovered me, moving into my body like a happy parasite. Soon boredom took over everything, ate at every action and activity, reading, talking, eating, even sleeping. There was no knock at the door, boredom has arrived. Instead, I noticed one day that nothing seemed worth saying. Not I love you, not I'm tired, not time to get up. In my dreams there was silence, I was bored in sleep. I'd know I was bored in sleep because I'd wake up and have no energy to remember a dream. Before sitting up to turn off the alarm, I'd remember that I was bored, that there was no reason to wash and dress. For a few minutes, my sense of obligation, go to work, you have so much work, would battle my desire to stop moving, and the internal struggle itself would provide enough fuel to get me to the coffee machine, to the shower, to my toothbrush, clothes, comb, shoes. I'd start feeling bored again as soon as I touched my coat. Outside, I would look at the street and the school children hopping along with their harried parents, forget the boredom for a second, and then remember again as I went down the steps and walked to the tree-lined corner of my subway station. I would wait on the platform, then find a seat on the always empty G line, the only line that never touches the island of Manhattan. I knew that fact from when everything about my neighborhood and my job and my life was exciting. On the train, I would hope I could take out my book from my messenger bag. If I managed it, if I decided to read rather than stare at the other passengers and contemplate my boredom, if I entered a different world during the half-hour commute, I'd have a better day. If not, I would sit and look at the others, amazed that they weren't screaming from boredom.
Gita Schwartz reading an excerpt from her essay, A Case of Boredom. What inspired Schwartz to write about her battle with boredom?
Well, it's funny to use the word inspiration because I was inspired to write it because I had an incredibly deep, profound case of existential boredom. I was just terribly, terribly bored. And I couldn't stop talking about how bored I was. And one day I mentioned it to a friend, and she actually asked me if I had read anything about it. And once I started to read about it, I felt sort of unsatisfied with what I was reading. And it made me start writing about it. And that in and of itself helped me not just understand the boredom, but actually get through it in some way.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, you write in the article that as bored as you were, your father was more bored still as he struggled toward death. Can you explain that to me?
My father died a very, very, very long, slow death. And he actually was somebody who had an incredible capacity to not be bored. When we were kids, he could actually spend an enormous amount of time just watching me and my sister watch television. He found that fascinating. It made him happy. He did not find that boring at all. But he'd had a lot of trauma in his life, and I think he understood escaping from death and surviving as not boring in a lot of ways. And the way that he was dying was just against everything he had gone through. He was getting weaker and weaker and weaker, wasting away and just waiting to die. And it was the first time he had ever experienced that. Even when he had been very, very sick before, he had really conceived of himself as being able to survive anything. There was really quite a change in him. It was really the first time any of us had ever seen him bored and wishing it were over. And when is it going to be over? When is it going to be over? When is it going to end? In the way that even, you know, a little kid might say in the car, are we there yet? It was quite an amazing experience. And also, when anybody dies, it's really the loneliest, most isolated feeling. No one can understand what that feeling is when you're dying and when you know you are dying.
Yeah. Of course, you describe him as a man who can survive anything, but when what you're trying to survive is the end of survival, it's hard to see how to get through it.
And it's very hard to sort of conceptualize that when you've lived your whole life thinking you're this miraculous case that somehow got through all these terrible things, and you're dying in the most banal, awful way, just sickening in your bed and waiting.
You also talk about it as being related to loneliness. Is there a relationship between boredom and loneliness?
For me, there definitely was. I definitely think that was the case for my father. One of the things about boredom is that you feel that no one can really understand what you're going through. Everyone else seems very interested in what they're doing, or at least not dissatisfied. And you are sitting here with a case of incredible frustration that no one understands how deeply boring the waiting and the lack of a future is. And one of the things about boredom, you think about it as being bored with what you're hearing or what you're understanding from the world. But I think a lot of it is that you feel that no one can understand you, and that's related to loneliness in a very deep way.
The other thing that's fascinating, you in the article you write that boredom is the enemy of a healthy concept of time. It's essentially all in the present. There's no future, there's no past. It's just now, and now isn't very good.
Well, you know, I think of it as sort of this sick, perverted version of love. You know, when you're in love, you cannot imagine not being in love. You can't remember what it was like to feel, you know, just regular about everything and not happy. And when you're bored, it's really, really hard to imagine that life was ever different or that life could ever be different. I think a lot of a certain kind of boredom is not about the activities you're doing. It's not about the work you're doing or the people you're talking to. It's about not being able to see a different way of experiencing those same activities. Mm-hmm. And it always seems to be endless. You can't imagine how it would possibly end.
How about for you? Did this essentially coincide with your father's last illness? I mean, when he died at home, did that have an effect on your boredom?
It really did. First of all, we were all very, it's a strange word to use, but we were all very happy that what he had wanted, which was to die at home, we were able to accomplish. And it didn't always seem like that was going to be possible. So we were very happy that we had given him his wish. And it seemed like such a difficult thing to do, and yet we did it. And that in and of itself felt like all that boredom had actually been actions toward a goal.
Worth it in a way.
Worth it in a way, yes. And the other thing is, as frequently happens when somebody that you are close to dies, you're surrounded by people who are, you know, telling you what a wonderful person your father was, and they're basically validating your feeling. And we talked a little bit earlier about how boredom is related to loneliness. Suddenly, it's the least lonely feeling in the world, grief. Dying is the most lonely feeling. But grief is really not that lonely if you have people around you to comfort you and to remind you what you are losing, in a way. And that feeling really stayed with me for quite a while. The process of grieving was the process of sort of reconnecting with people and listening to their thoughts and hearing what they had to say. And everybody seems interested in what you have to say about your father and your experiences with him. So that was a major turning point.
That's sort of a positive thing about boredom then. I mean, there was something good that came out of it.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I do feel a little bit of criticism, or I don't know, the word that's coming to mind is resentment against a lot of the writers about boredom who do seem to think of it as sort of a fallow period and then you sort of rejuvenate, or it's sort of a period of rest because we're so overstimulated. I really did not experience it that way at all. I had tons of stuff to do all the time. I was dealing with tons of crisis in my professional life and my personal life with my dad. I didn't experience the boredom as this sort of positive resting place, and then you come out of it with a really great feeling that you're new again. It was more that the boredom ended, and then I was happy.
Did you feel as though you ended the boredom, or did it leave of its own accord?
It left. I didn't do anything. Believe me, I tried plenty of methods of being unbored, and I couldn't do it at all. And then one day it was just gone.
Gita Schwartz is the author of the essay A Case of Boredom. It's published in the February issue of The Believer magazine.